You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Today we're talking to a man who had what's known as germ cell tumor in his peritoneum. And if you're like me, you're probably asking, what is the peritoneum? Well, this is from the website Clinical Anatomy for Dummies. And it says the following. The peritoneum is a membrane made up of two layers. One layer lines the cavity and the other layer lines the organs. The peritoneum helps support the organs in the abdominal cavity and also allows nerves, blood vessels, and lymph vessels to pass through the organs. The parietal perineum lines the abdominal wall and extends to the organs, whereas the visceral peritoneum covers the organs. The peritoneal cavity lies between these two peritoneal layers. It contains a thin layer of fluid that lubricates the peritoneal surfaces. And with that introduction, we are joined by our guest, Simon Pitt from the UK. Simon, what did you think of the introduction? Was it accurate?
A lot more detail than I knew.
Well, about 90% of it just went over my head.
Well, you know, I had no idea what the peritoneum was, and I have no idea what germ cell tumor is. Can you explain the germ cell tumor part?
The germ cell tumor, as I believe it, is related to directly to your reproductive system. So the germ cell tumor is the spawn of testicular cancer, and it traveled from my testicles into my peritoneum and grew from there.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good to know. I had no idea. Now, were you experiencing any discomfort prior to the diagnosis by doctors?
I had a little bit of lower backache. But I'd always had backache from having a little boy anyway and picking him up all the time. So I just assumed it was that. And then it progressively got worse and worse, and it was there all the time, and it was stopping me sleeping. It was just real, the backache. Now, I went to my doctors, and I went three or four times, and they, in effect, just fobbed me off and just said I was imagining it. And I ended up getting a private consultation. And then I went for my private consultation. They did a few scans. And then on the 18th of November 2013, at 25 to 6, he told me that they'd found a tumour that was 12 centimetres by 7 centimetres at the time.
And what did they say with respect to how they were going to treat it?
I was referred to an oncologist at Christie's, in the Christie's Hospital in Manchester. They did a series of tests, and when they first looked at it, they thought it was a lymphoma. We went along a treatment path for about a month where they were treating it as a lymphoma, and then at the last minute, they changed their mind and told me it was a germ cell tumour, which is quite unnerving when you go down one path and then they change their mind after a month.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's almost like, well, we didn't know what it was before, but here's what we found out it is.
Yeah.
So you had that. Did you undergo chemo at all?
I was booked in. So they diagnosed me 18th of November. Then I was booked in for chemo to start on the 1st of January. But unfortunately, around mid-December, the tumour had other ideas, and it perforated my bowel. So from there, I just woke up in one morning in excruciating pain and was being sick every 15 minutes. So they rushed me into Christie's, and then they, I went into Christie's on, when was it, about the 20th of December 2013. They did a series of tests, and they were looking to start chemo And then a surgeon had a look at my other scans and said he needed to operate. So they took me in for surgery on Christmas Eve 2013. And they did 7 hours of surgery where they disconnected my stomach, plugged the holes in my bowel. But then that meant that I couldn't eat from there on in. Mm. And it was after that point, they give me about 2 to 3 weeks to actually for my stomach to heal up. And then they started me on BEP chemotherapy, which is a platinum-based chemotherapy, the second week in January 2014.
So you couldn't eat for how long? Several weeks?
No, they disconnected my stomach. I started the chemo, and they didn't reconnect my stomach until October 14. So I didn't eat any food for 10 months, and I was fed through called TPN feed, which is parental nutritional feed, where they feed you through the Hickman lining, your chest.
Okay, it's clear now. Now, did you lose much weight during this period?
Yes, I'm normally about 11 stone, and at my lowest, I was just over 6 stone. And I wasn't, because I was having chemo, because of all my different ailments, I was in Christie's in Manchester, but I stayed in for 5 months, so it wasn't like I was getting out or about or walking. So I was virtually confined to a bed in Christie's. I was fed every night through this feed, and I also had 2 or 3 actual different tubes that came out of my stomach that drained my stomach, because your stomach naturally produces about 2 litres of fluid a day. So all that needed somewhere to come out, and it came out into these bags that I had to carry around with me.
Wow, that must have been quite the time, 5 months.
The only time I left the ward was to go for a CT scan a CT scan, really.
You know, for those listeners who are unfamiliar, 6 stone, there's 14 pounds to a stone, so he was 70 pounds. So you lost about half your body weight.
Yeah. Basically, the feed that I was given was just to keep me alive and keep me going, but it's not particularly nutritious, so you don't really get anything for it.
No. This may sound like a ridiculous question, but what did it feel like to you?
It felt like I was wasting away. There was a few times where it felt like if I closed my eyes, I was going to die.
Did you ever feel as though you maybe wanted to die?
No, because I had, at the time, I got a 3-year-old little boy, and he needed his dad.
Yeah.
So that was always the motivation. No matter how ill you're feeling or how bad you're feeling, you have to get up and get on with it, because he needed his dad.
Yeah, there's something that keeps you going, isn't there? It's some, you have a child, you know the child needs his father, a parent, and it's remarkable what some people go through, both physically and psychologically. And to hear your story about your operation, going through chemo and losing half your body weight, and it was like you were just a vegetable sitting in that bed, I assume, every single day, over and over and over again.
Yeah, that was what it was, because for the first couple of months, I was too ill to actually even get out of bed. I just physically couldn't get out of bed. So I was just lying there, and you need something to keep you going. And fortunately for me, it was my son.
I can't even imagine that. Boy, horrible. So what happened next?
So I had the BEP chemo, which was 8 hours a day for 5 days in week one. It was 8 hours a day, twice a week, week two, and the same in week three. And that was one cycle. And I had 8 cycles of that, which lasted from January through to May 2014. They did scans along the way, and then in June 14, they had a look and scanned the tumour again, and it had shrunk to about 6 centimetres by 4 centimetres, so roughly about half the size that it was. But the chemo hadn't got rid of it. The hope was that the chemo would get rid of it, but it didn't. Mm. So they put me on a just watch and see, let's see how it goes. The chemo might still be working. And we did another scan in August and the tumour was still the same size. So they decided to operate. And the purpose of the operation was to remove the remaining tumour, reconnect my stomach, but when they got in there, it was a bit more complicated than they thought. So it was attached to me kidney as well, and they couldn't peel it off my kidney, so they had to take my left kidney out. They managed to remove the tumour, and unfortunately, they could peel it off my aorta as well. So your aorta is just your main blood supply through your body. Unfortunately, as they could peel it off that, they didn't have to do an aorta resection because they were going to... They had a bit of pig that they were going to replace my aorta with. So they took my kidney out, took the tumour out, peeled it off my aorta and reconnected my stomach, which left me with a foot-long scar from halfway up my chest as far down as you can go. And that took them, well, there was three different surgical teams and it took them 14 hours.
14 hours of surgery.
Yeah.
That's a massive surgery.
It felt like a few seconds to me. I just fell asleep and I woke up.
Woke up and it was all done.
Yes, I woke up with a foot-long list of staples because they went in through the front, so it was all down my stomach. And I had an epidural and they left the epidural in for 4 or 5 days while my stomach was sort of trying to get itself, reconfigure itself so it wasn't too painful.
Simon, what did you think when the doctors, when you were awake after the operation, the doctors came in and told you exactly what was performed on you?
Just a bit stunned, really. You don't think that it's ever going to happen to you. And it's always somebody else. Mm-hmm. But as I come round, because they told me that there was a chance that I would die during the operation, so I was just relieved that I was alive.
Oh, so they did tell you that you may not make it.
Yeah.
So at this point, is all the cancer gone then, if they've done that surgery and they've taken your kidney and they've peeled it off your aorta? Are you cancer-free?
Yeah, so at that point, so they let my stomach settle down. They took me off the epidural and all the painkillers, which was crucifyingly painful, where they're taking you off the epidural and building your other painkillers up. But then after about 2 weeks, I came out of intensive care. And after that point, I started eating again. You won't believe how good jam on toast tastes when you've not ate for 10 months.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Boy, yeah. Oh, boy.
Was that the first thing you ate?
Yeah, it was. Everything was just, everything is so tasty.
When you didn't eat for that 10 months, did you think about food?
All the time.
So what was your meal that you absolutely dreamt of having?
Well, while I couldn't eat, I made a list of foods that I wanted or restaurants that I was going to visit when I got better.
Right on. Just
simple things like I just was craving cottage pie for whatever reason.
Right. So,
and that was one of the first things the hospital got for me when I was there. But tasting food again after 2 months, it was amazing.
I'll bet it was.
Oh, that's remarkable. I mean, you went through some just horrendous surgery. First surgery was 7 hours, and your second surgery was 14 hours. They're peeling cancers off your aorta. They couldn't remove the one from the kidney, so they have to remove the kidney. How do you feel as a result of only having one kidney?
Surprisingly, it doesn't feel any different. I thought I'd have to change my diet. I thought I wouldn't be able to drink alcohol. But my surgeon just said, oh, exactly the same as it should be. And your kidney's quite a clever organ in the fact that it realised that one of them had gone. So your other kidney grows. Mm-hmm. So my other kidney has grown by 28%.
Oh. Yeah. The father of my children had the same issue. His kidney stopped working. They figure when they amputated his leg, yeah. And the average Size of a kidney is 12 to 15 centimeters. His right one, even though he's not a very big man, was 17 and a half centimeters.
Oh, so it grows in order to compensate.
Yeah, very clever.
So there you are in hospital, and you've had all this surgery, and at this point you're cancer-free, that's correct?
Yes, so that was October 2014.
Right.
And then Christmas time, just around sort of mid-December time 2014, I started getting backache again. But this time it was a lot more painful. And it came from nowhere. When I had backache before, it grew over a couple of months. This time it grew, the pain, within sort of a week or two.
Mm.
And it was just before Christmas, and I didn't want to lose another Christmas with my little boy. So I just put up with it. I tried to hide it from my family. And then on New Year's Day, the pain just got too much. So I took myself back into Christie's. They did another scan, and they said the tumour was back in exactly the same place.
Oh, man. Were you surprised, or did you have a gut feeling about it?
As soon as I got the pain, I knew really what it was.
Yeah.
And then subsequently, the oncologist has said sometimes when they do surgery, when they cut out a tumour, microscopic spores actually spread themselves in the body. Mm. That they try and clean it up, clean you up, but they can't clean it up effectively, so they never know what's left there. And if those spores land in a particularly fertile area, they start growing again. And unfortunately for me, that's what happened.
Oh, so little microscopic spores.
Yeah, often when they're doing a surgery like that, they'll basically spread it. That's the big fear. And
so what happened after that, Simon?
So January 2015, I had something called TIP chemo, which again is platinum-based, but is a lot harsher treatment. So I was on it for week one was 5 days for 20 hours a day. Then I had a rest week two and three, and that was one cycle. And then I repeated that from January through to the end of April 2015. They told me that this chemo, because the first chemo had failed, I'd only had, well, less than a 20% chance of working. So it was at this point that I wasn't willing to die. So I started researching different things, looking at diet changes, and came across, I came across Corey online. So I started researching Corey and cannabis oil and doing a lot of reading around what cannabis oil does, how it works, how to change my diet to supplement cannabis oil. I then had a 3/4 hour Skype call with Corey. You probably don't remember Corey speak to that many people.
I sort of do. I'm not going to be able to recall all the details, though. Yes, I do. I do recall because of your son. I remember that we wanted to keep you going for your son. I remember that.
So then Corey gave me a lot more info, and then I took it on my own back to research where I could either make it myself or I could get it from. And I found somebody in England who I spoke to a few times. He was completely new to me, but he seemed quite trustworthy. So I got references from people he'd helped and treated. And I went to see him. And I started taking cannabis oil in May 2015. And I got up to quite quickly, within about a month, I got up to a gram a day. And I was doing it all orally, just by putting it under my tongue, leaving it there for 20 minutes, and then let it get into your system that way. Because getting it in that way, you'll know, is you get more into your system rather than it going through into your stomach, because mm-hmm. you lose a lot of the oil in your stomach because of your stomach acids. And I did that for the best part of a year. But it's funny when you tell people you're taking cannabis oil. Everyone's got this picture of you sat there with music on, feeling mm-hmm. quite happy, feeling a bit stoned, got the munchies, and everyone thinks it's quite a nice form of treatment. It's a lot more difficult than a lot of people think. because I was doing it all orally, I was taking CBD oil at 7 o'clock, because that's the oil that keeps you more alert. Then I was taking THC at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock to get myself up to the full gram. And I was asleep and stoned, feeling sick with the room spinning by sort of 11 o'clock at night. And then I wasn't waking up until 2-3 o'clock the next afternoon. And it's quite a difficult experience, because you feel like you're wasting your life away by just lying in bed asleep.
Yeah, and then do it all over again.
You do that for a long time, but you're thinking at the same time, well, it may not work. I might die, and I'm wasting all my time being asleep in bed. So mentally, it's quite tough.
Yeah, it's not. I often say to people, you know, it's not a walk in the park. It's one thing if you choose to be stoned. It's another to. It's almost like you have to be stoned at some level.
That's exactly it. It's just it is difficult, but people who've not been through that and people who just smoke for pleasure just don't appreciate it.
Yeah. No, and they certainly don't appreciate how much stronger the oil is. I've had quite a few people say, I've been smoking all my life, I'll be fine. And then they do their first dose of oil, and it's a totally different experience than they were expecting.
I had a couple of friends that tried it who had exactly the same experience.
And you went, so there, see what I mean?
Yeah, it soon became apparent to them. They didn't try it again.
So you
Simon, I've done it once. And that was enough. But you're right.
Did you
right.
enjoy it?
You know what? I had the most incredible dreams. It was like a conveyor belt of dreams. And I remember in the middle of the night, I had to get up and go to the bathroom, and I thought, I can't get up.
Yeah.
And I slept for about 9-10 hours and got up, had a headache, had cotton mouth, dry mouth, and laid on the couch. And at 10 o'clock the next morning, I was laying on the couch and thought, I have to go back to bed, and slept till 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know exactly how I feel. And people say as well that you get a tolerance for it. I never really got that tolerance for it. I always struggled all the way through with the side effects of it.
Mm. Simon, were you taking this 3 times a day, or how often were you taking it?
Oh, I would take 4 rice grains of CBD at 7 o'clock at night, and then I would take 6 rice grains at 9 o'clock of THC, and another 6 rice grains of THC at 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And the reason I did it like that was because I wanted to condense it so I could spend some time with my little boy when he came home from school, because
right.
I wasn't in the morning because I was asleep. He'd come home from school, so I only had a small window before he went to bed to actually see him. So I tried to condense it all into an evening, which is not ideal, but it was the best way I could do it with what else I had going on in my life at the time.
Well, it was very ambitious of you.
Simon, I'm surprised you even woke up.
There was a few days where it was a struggle.
So where are you now in this journey?
So I've had 4 CT scans over the last couple of years, and there is still a small lump which is about 3 centimeters said by about 0.5 centimeters. Now they think that lump at all has not grown, so the assumption is that it's scar tissue, because if it was still live cancer, they're assuming they would have seen it grow over the last 2 years. So as of the 12th of May, I'll be 2 years clear.
Oh, that's good.
That's amazing.
Very good.
That's great.
Yeah. So are you still taking the oil on a daily basis?
I started, after a year of taking a gram a day, I dropped down to a maintenance dose. And I'll be honest, I've got a bit lazy. So for the last 3 or 4 months, I've not really taken any. But it's something that I will get back to and just start taking a maintenance dose of a rice grain or two every day.
Okay, Corey's here to admonish you for not taking
your maintenance dose. Yeah, I don't want to freak out on you. Please get back on that maintenance dose. It's important.
I know. And I am going to do it as well, because it's not difficult, but you just become a bit complacent. Because taking a rice grain or two at night, you don't really experience the side effects after a while. So there's no reason not to do it.
Yeah. I've never missed a night.
Have you?
No.
That's very impressive.
Well, it's not impressive. It's called "I'm Desperate to Stay Alive and Cancer Free."
Yeah,
that's what that's about.
No. Yep, we all are. So, yeah, I will. I definitely need to get back on it.
But when you got rid of this cancer the last go round there, then you didn't do any more of that chemotherapy, etc. You just did the oil.
Yeah, no. So the chemo, they told me I had less than a 20% chance of working. Mm. So I started on the cannabis oil straight away, and that's what I believe has got rid of the tumor.
Wonderful.
Are the doctors aware of what you're doing?
No, I didn't tell them, for one simple reason is my oncologist is quite an old school oncologist. Mm-hmm. And when I even asked him about things about like changing my diet, not eating sugars, etc., he said that was a load of rubbish. So I didn't even broach the cannabis oil route because I knew how it was going to be received.
And yeah. Have a donut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you did absolutely the right thing because you weren't going to convince him that what you were doing was working.
No, definitely not. They're not even on board with the diet and lifestyle changes at the moment. So something as out there as cannabis oil, I just didn't see the point.
How did you change? Sorry to interrupt. How did you change your diet?
I cut out all processed sugars. I started eating all organic. I started eating a lot more fruit and veg, because my fruit and veg intake before wasn't very good. I started adding turmeric to my food with black pepper because it increases the absorption of cumin. I started eating up to 50 apricot kernels every day because they've got B17 in them, which is supposed to have good anti-cancer properties. And I took a range of supplements as well.
How do you feel, other than knowing that you may have this little scar tissue within you?
In my mind, it's dead. Mm-hmm. And I've got the tools that, if I was unfortunate enough for it to come back, I've got the tools to get rid of it again.
This time you're ready for it.
Yeah, definitely. I know what to do. I know the people to speak to. I know exactly what I need to do. So I'm comfortable with where I am today.
And you know that if you get a pain in the back, in the area where you had the pain before, you will act immediately instead of waiting a week, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I say, I definitely need to get back on that maintenance dose as well.
Yes, please.
Yes, Corey's going to get after you if you don't. Do you have any final words that you'd like to say to folks listening?
You need to trust yourself. You can't just believe everything that the doctors say because they haven't got the answers in a lot of cases. You need to get out there and do your own research. Have a look at different routes, different your lifestyle, different diet changes. I mean, I tried oxygen therapy as well. I tried all sorts of different things. But I truly believe that it was taking cannabis oil for a gram a day for a year that's actually got rid of it. And people need to be a bit more open-minded because it has got a huge potential, not just for cancers, but for other illnesses as well. That's what I believe from my research that I've done.
When you're in the UK, I mean, you're being in the UK, your government has a very backward approach to cannabis, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. There's all sorts of petitions that are going to try and get it legalized, but they just won't look at it. But interestingly, one of the big pharmaceutical companies over here has applied for patents for cannabis. So they won't let you take it, the natural substance, but I'm pretty sure if they can produce a substance that is artificial in nature so they can charge for it, then they'll legalize that.
Yeah, are you talking about GW Pharmaceuticals?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We can name them. That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think I've been on this bandwagon before. I won't go there anymore. But I think it's great. It's fantastic that you're healthy. You get to see your son, and son will watch his father in old age.
I hope so.
I think so, as long as we get back on that maintenance dose.
I will be doing it.
Okay. Well,
Simon, it was great to talk to you. Fascinating story. We wish you well in the future. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And if anybody wants to contact me for me to talk through in any more detail or help them, I'm more than happy for them to contact me.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Simon.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And that's another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.